I'm going to dedicate this lesson to our sisters. And I hope all of us receive benefit and blessing from it, but I am focusing on our sisters. I want to look again at John chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. I want to use for a subject honoring the discipleship of womanhood. Honoring the discipleship of womanhood. In verse 25, it's interesting that all of these women are mentioned, and the mentioning of them immediately took me to the status that these women held. Mary, a mother, and then her sister, all right? That's another stage or status of womanhood. Wife, the wife of Cleophas, that's another position that women hold. And then Mary Magdalene is a single. So womanhood is actually represented here at Jesus' cross. The mother, sister, wife, and even single. Each role is given in the scripture great significance. Womanhood is greatly valued by God, for it is he who created the woman. The fact that at the apex of man's greatest need and the greatest event, which is the death of Christ, womanhood is prominently displayed. It is also very significant to note that the first to the tomb of the resurrected Christ was or were the women. Even during his journey to Calvary, women followed along as he was carried or as he moved to the place of crucifixion. The Bible even emphasizes in Mark chapter 15, 41, how that the women who were there had come up with him from from Galilee. And the Bible emphasizes that there were many women there. When I go back to verse 25 of John 19, when he says, Now there stood by, and I want to just emphasize stood by. I find this statement very significant. Because in the crucible of life, you need somebody that's going to stand by and stand with. Womanhood could be counted on. Whatever status there is when you speak in terms of women, I'm telling you that if womanhood is, and I'm talking about womanhood in all of her goodness and all of her created ability, she makes for dependability and sustainability. If you want to sustain something, you want to depend on something, make sure that womanhood is part of the equation. Now, when all the other men deserted Jesus, denied Jesus, betrayed Jesus, the consistent, unwavering devotion came from womanhood, came from a wife, a mother, sister, and a single. I see, as I have looked at womanhood biblically, historically, and personally, that there is something inherent in woman, in women, that that is very outstanding. That I want to highlight three things. Number one, if you have women, and I'm talking about women in their created ability and purpose for which God has given, you're going to find these three things: compassion, courage, and commitment. When you talk about compassion, compassion is more than a feeling, but it's an act. It's going out of one's way to help physical, spiritual, or emotional hurts of others. There is, however, an emotional aspect to it. And I know that this emotional part of it is what grips and tears at our heart. But it's when you actually act upon what you feel, the emotional response. When you think in terms of compassion, compassion comes out of a sense of fairness. Most people who have compassion, it comes out of a sense of fairness, justice, and interdependence. It's the idea of co-suffering, seeking to alleviate suffering. Now, biblically, you would call this the golden rule: as you would that men do unto you, do also unto them. Now, whenever you highlight compassion, understand that compassion is the cornerstone for building and making humanity solid. Without compassion, you don't have connectivity, because you don't have people feeling for one another and seeking to help one another. Courage, ladies and gentlemen, is feeling fear. I don't ever want people to think that courage is absent of fear. Feeling fear, yet choosing to act. When you have courage, though I am fearful, I still act upon what I know is right. You follow your heart. You stand up for what's right. You expand your horizon. Any person who exemplifies courage, they will expand their horizon. They're not paralyzed by fear. People who are paralyzed by fear, they slink into the shadows of conformity. You gotta be willing to move beyond your fear and go ahead and act upon what you know is right and what you know should be done. Now, commitment means to obligate oneself, agree to do something, undertake the task, and see it to completion. If a person is committed, then they say, well, I am obligating, and I am agreeing, and I undertake this task, and I'm going to do it to completion. This comes a time in every person's life, there comes a time in every person's life that you have to stand up and be counted on. And I'm telling you that when you do this, then the world will be made better. Compassion, courage, and commitment is what allowed Mary, the mother of Jesus, to be at the cross. Compassion, courage, and commitment is what allowed his mother's sister to be at the cross? What allowed the wife of Cleophas to be there and Mary Magdalene? I'm telling you that wherever you see courage, you can automatically know that there has to be or should be some compassion. Take, for instance, you got courage and you got commitment. Now, courage and commitment is dangerous. You better make sure that the courage and the commitment comes out of compassion, because compassion is what tempers courage and commitment. There are a lot of people who have courage and they are committed to things, but it's absent of the compassion, seeking to identify with the hurts of others and trying to do what you can to mend the hurts. Womanhood, I believe, has all three. I'm talking about perfect womanhood. I'm talking about womanhood in all of her glory. Now, what I want to do is show you, and it won't take me long, how that these attributes are found in a wife, these attributes are found in a mother, these attributes are found in a sister, and these attributes are found in a single. Well, how do you know that they're found in a wife? Well, look with what the Bible says. Proverbs 12:4 says, a virtuous woman is a crown to a husband, but she that maketh ashamed is a rottenness in his bones. Now, Proverbs 19:14 says, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Proverbs 18:22 says, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor from the Lord. Now, Brother Gibbs, why do you think that a wife is a crown? Why do you think that a wife is that which brings prudence, and she is a good thing? I tell you, it's because whenever you have a wife that has compassion, that has courage, and has commitment, brother, you got yourself something. Amen. Now, 1 Samuel 25 proves my point. You know the story of Abigail. Remember Nabal, when he was approached by David's men asking for food, that Nabal was hard and obstinate and rejected their offer and actually scorned David's men. And a lot of revenge came up in the heart of David. And I'm talking about David before he became king. And when Abigail, the wife of Nabal, was told what her husband had done, notice now that here is a woman who exercised compassion. Here is a woman who exercised courage, because she made sure that she provided sustenance for the army of David, and she also, out of her commitment to her husband and her commitment to God, she was able to keep bloodshed from taking place on that day. Now, that was a strong woman that is to be honored, a strong wife. When you got a good wife, and I say to all of you men who are yet married and you think you're doing well by yourself, you don't know what you would be able to do if you had a woman of compassion and a woman of courage and a woman of commitment. That's what you need in your life. And if you ever get a woman like that, I'm telling you, you will soar to heights unknown, because it's a powerful thing to have a woman like that. Now, what about a mother? Womanhood as a mother. Well, I show and see that the same attributes is applied even in the status of a mother. How do you know, Brother Gibbs? Well, Exodus 2 and verse number 3. You remember when the decree had gone out that the male children of the Jews were to be killed by the Egyptians, that a woman by the name of Jochebed, this woman had courage, this woman had commitment, and this woman had compassion, and her wonderful attributes allowed her to to build an ark out of bulrushes. And she made sure that she pitched it where it would not leak. And she put that child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river. And I'm in Exodus 2 and verse number 3. What's your point, preacher? I'm telling you that Jochebed, has she not been a strong woman of courage and commitment to her child and compassion, she never would have done what she did. What about Hannah? Hannah, in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 19, she's the one who prayed for a child, and God gave her a son. But in verse 19 of 1 Samuel 2, the Bible says, moreover, his mother, moreover. Every time you find a woman that I'm talking about, she's a moreover woman. Now watch this. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat, brought it to him from year to year. If you got a woman of courage and commitment, she's a year-to-year woman. She's not just one of those sometime women. When she came up with her husband to offer yearly sacrifice. So here is a woman. Here is a mother. And I believe that this is why Mary was at the cross of Jesus. It's because she was a moreover mother. She was a year-to-year mother. She was one of those mothers that I'm going to stick by my boy through thick and thin. I know that he's in a bad situation, but Jesus, looking down from the cross, saw his mother out of all of his anguish, out of all of his pain. He looked through all of that and saw his mother. And before he took his last breath, he wanted to make sure that his mother were in good hands and his mother was taken care of. That's because she was a woman of courage, a woman of commitment, and a woman of compassion. I wish I had time. I talk about Rizpah, whose boys had been turned over to the Gibeonites. This woman made her a pallet out there on rocks while her boys were hanging. The Bible said that she made sure that the vultures did not come and eat the flesh of her boys, and she made sure that the wild beasts didn't come and take the flesh of her boys. That's because this woman had courage. She stayed there night and day. Am I right? Am I right? And she was a woman of compassion and a woman of commitment. I wish I had time. I would talk about the Shunammite woman. When her boy, first of all, she was blessed to have the son because she took care and had compassion for Elisha. And when she had the boy one day had a headache. And like any dad, he said, well, take her to her mother. Take him to his mother. You got to read the story, and you'll know that the boy stayed on her lap all that afternoon until he died. And so the point that I'm making is that when you have a woman that serves as a mother, that's filled with compassion, that's filled with courage, and filled with commitment, that's a mother to be honored. If you got a wife that has courage, that has commitment, that has compassion, that's a wife to be honored. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You did pretty good on that, Brother Gibbs. All right, now, number 3. I didn't do it already. God did it. God put it there. I don't want to take credit from him. Now watch this now. As a sister, and I look for these qualities in a sister. And so when I read the scripture and I said, now, Mary Magdalene is there, and Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and there's the mother of Jesus and his mother's sister. Now here's a mother, the mother of Jesus, but the mother's sister is there with her. See, there's something about sisterhood. It's more, there seems to be a greater emphasis on sisterhood than there is on brotherhood. Now, Brother Gibbs, how do you know? I did a little more research, and I went to John 11, verse number 1. Now, there was a certain man who was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, a town. Now, watch this, of Mary and her sister Martha. Who can read the scripture and not hear about Mary and Martha? I'm telling you, what you find in Mary and Martha is this, is that you find, number one, commitment. You find courage and you find compassion in these women. And that's why when their brother got sick, they sent word to Jesus, your friend Lazarus is sick. And when Jesus took his time in coming, those sisters got all over him and said, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. Well, you know, that's a whole other story right there. But it's something about a sister. Now, I'm telling you, you ought to grow up in a family where you got sisters, because brothers don't always hang with you. But I tell you, if you got a good sister now, a good sister, even in your ups and downs, she'll hang in there with you. That's a good sister. Know you're wrong, but she's going to still try to help you out anyway. Amen. That's a good sister. Anyway, may I say this in sisterhood? I'm talking about commitment, and I'm talking about courage, and I'm talking about compassion. I believe that's why when Euodias and Syntyche in Philippians chapter 4 were not agreeing, that Paul had to tell them to agree and be of the same mind, because there is power in sisterhood. There's power in sisterhood. And when you got sisters who are committed, and you got sisters that are courageous, and you got sisters who have the heart of compassion that deal with things, I'm telling you, that's a power that you don't ever want to go up against. When we had the adolescent and ladies symposium, and I saw all of those sisters sitting out there, and they told me as the minister to go and greet them. You're talking about feeling intimidated. I mean, I felt intimidated standing there in front of all of those sisters. And the only thing I could think of is, thank God he wrote it in the Bible that the man is the head of the wife. Amen. Because, brothers, I'm going to tell you, if it weren't in the Bible, we wouldn't have a chance. Because those sisters know how to do it. Now, may I make this point, that when sisters don't have it together and sisters want to mess it up, can't nobody mess it up like sisters either. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen, 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 amen. Oh, man, it's a power. Power to either heal or power to destroy. Amen. It just depends on how they want to use it. Amen. Well, good point, Sheldon. Good point. All right. Now I'm closing. You say it's time. All right. Now look at women as a single. And there's a power in single. You know, you look at Mary Magdalene, who represented the single women. And it's a beautiful thing to see how she ministered to the Lord and served the Lord. And I want to say to all of our single sisters, I understand that a lot of these lessons that we preach and teach are oriented toward the wife and toward the mother. But I wanted to take the time today to highlight the fact that at the cross of Jesus was not just a mother, was not just a wife. There was a sister there, and there was a single who was there. And I want you to understand that the Lord favors you all. And when whatever status you find yourself in, be committed, be courageous, and be compassionate. Let the Lord use you, and I guarantee you, you'll make the world better wherever you're found and wherever you commit yourself. I think of people like, I don't know if Lydia, I knew she had a household, but I don't remember reading of her husband, Lydia, in Acts the 16th chapter. I don't remember them mentioning Dorcas being married. But I'm telling you that these women dedicated themselves to the cause of Christ. And this is what Paul says concerning singlehood in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse number 32. He says, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord. And that's your challenge as a single, to care for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Now, that's not saying that a married person doesn't try to please the Lord. But that just means that they have an added responsibility. They got to please the spouse and they got to please the Lord. And sometimes trying to work the spouse around to get to where the Lord wants, that's some trouble on your hand. Amen. So just be thankful that you don't even have a spouse. That the only person you got to get right is you. Amen. You can go when you want to, come when you want to. Amen. Amen. Well, anyway, there is a positiveness about being a single. Now, some of you married folks saying, I should have stayed single too. Amen. But anyway, if you can't contain, you can't handle this. All right. All right. But that's my lesson. That's my lesson. That's my lesson. Discipleship, honoring discipleship. These women stayed by Jesus' side. I mean, to the very end. To the very end. And then they watched where they buried. And then after they saw where he was buried, because the next day was the Sabbath, but early, I mean early, the first day of the week. That's what women are like. They early birds. Because they know a task needs to be done. So we praise you, mothers. We praise you, wives. We praise you in sisterhood. And we praise you in singleness. Some of you have multiple roles. Some of you a wife, a mother, and a sister. But there's power in it. Some of you are single mothers. Remind me of that lady by the name of Mrs. Graham. I'm talking about a powerful woman, a woman of commitment, a woman of courage, and a woman of compassion. When she saw her boy on television out there rioting up there in Baltimore, that woman left wherever she was and went out there and found that boy and hit that boy all upside his head and ran that boy all the way. And you know what I like about the boy? The boy had enough respect that all the thing he was doing was just trying to cover up, and he was just trying to get away from that woman. Amen. I mean, get away from his mother. Amen. Amen. Now that's the kind of mother. Now that she deserves to be the mother of the year. Because that's a woman who wanted to make sure that her boy, she said, I didn't bring you up like this. And that's the strength of motherhood. Where was the boy's daddy? Don't get me started now. I tell you who will stick with you through thick and thin. Yeah, I tell you something. You know, you get sick. I tell you who's going to take care of you. A woman will take care of you quicker than a man will take care of you. I rest my case. Sisters, God bless you all. You're part of the kingdom of God. God has called you for such a time as this. Whatever role you find yourself in, be dedicated to it. Take compassion. Take courage. Take commitment. Change the world in which you live. May God bless you. If you're in this audience and you're not a disciple of Christ, why do you think these women had commitment? Why do you think they had courage and compassion? It's because they learned it from their Lord. He is hanging on that cross because of his commitment, his courage, and his compassion for the world. You cannot follow Jesus unless Jesus changes you and makes you into a person like himself. We will change the world. We will make the world a better place when we disciple ourselves after Jesus Christ. The only way you can become a disciple of Jesus is that you're going to have to be taught. That's why in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Put them into a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let them become the persons that God will shape and mold, and then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Jesus will say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You need to be taught the gospel, which is the that compassion of Christ that led him to his death and then his burial, but thank God to his resurrection. His commitment made it possible for you. Somebody ought to want a Jesus like that. I don't mind following a Jesus who can turn water into wine. I don't mind following a Jesus who can take two fish and five loaves of bread and feed 5,000. I don't have no problem following a man who can turn water into wine. I have no problem finding a man who can go down in the grave and then come up and say, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. I don't have no power. No problem, no problem, no problem, no problem, no problem. I ain't got no problem following him. If I were you, I'd follow him too. I pray that you'll come. Come right now while together we stand and sing, will you come?
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have alert my sight. For I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.